So Paul Robbins, from the beginning of your career till now, how many years have you been getting up at unspeakably early hours, radio and TV combined?
Haven't done the math lately. It was March of 1984, so I guess that makes 34-plus years.
Do you sleep in on the weekends?
I do.
It's like, till what time?
You know, I used to be better at it. Now, since the mid-50s, I kind of tend to wake up at 5:30 or 6, but I'll read a little bit and go back to sleep. And I can put off crawling out of bed until after 8 o'clock on the weekends.
Positively respectable.
Which is a solid 5 hours later than the weekdays.
Seriously. So you've had this shift through a long marriage and 3 children and grandchildren.
Yeah. Bridget and I just celebrated our 39th wedding anniversary.
And I love, whenever I talk to you, I mean, you just adore each other. It's just so neat. You really love that woman. It's very evident.
Thank you.
It's good.
I really do. You know what? And I can't take any credit. It has been easy for us. We recognize that it's not always easy, but for us it has been, and so we just don't ask questions. We just go with it.
Yeah, you say it's easy, but when you have someone who's a publicly known face who gets up in the dark, those two things can make it a relationship challenging if you don't have a strong base. When I was doing mornings, I would go to bed at 7. He would go to bed at 10. And it's like, how did we even have 2 children? We're barely awake at the same time in this bed.
Requires a little planning.
Yes. Yeah. And you're going on 39 years.
Yes, indeed.
That's fantastic.
And our girls are 36 and 30. I don't know, 3 and 24.
And life is good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No complaints.
You are a doting set of grandparents, and we were just talking before we cracked the mics that you are a proud, loving, doting grandpa, and they live in the Bay Area, so you get to see them.
3 grandsons in Oakland, and you know, get me started here, and it could be a major tune out.
It's awesome.
Because, you know, grandparents are obnoxious. These grandkids are so much fun. I was one of 4 boys, all boys.
Uh-huh.
Then I had 3 daughters, all girls. Now I got 3 grandsons. And it's neat how different they are. And Bridget and I have just taken it upon ourselves to make sure they get dirty.
Oh.
And so we do dirty, messy things with them, and it's fantastic.
So you had 3 daughters. And by the way, both of us whipped out our cell phones, and it was like a gun duel over who could show their grandchildren first. You went from brothers to a house full of women. We had a similar situation. What was that like for you as a guy with hormones and all the teenage girls, et cetera, entails?
I had easy girls, too. I've been unbelievably blessed that my girls were easy, and I was done with boys. I was sick and tired of boys. I grew up all boys. So I actually wanted girls, and we got them. And you know, again, now it's completely different. Watching these boys tackle each other and hurt each other, and you know, throwing them around the living room.
And you want to say boys and girls, you know, raised in the same household are the same? But they're just different. They're just different.
It's so politically not correct. All through college, it was the whole behaviorist thing, and it's nature and nurture. It's more nurture than nature. You're the sum of the inputs. That's crap.
Yep.
That is just complete crap.
Everything that my grandson picks up that is pointy is either a gun or it's just different.
Yep.
Sticks. And,
yep. And I was ready for a little wrestling. So
yes.
It was good. Yeah.
So Paul and Phil was one of the most celebrated. That's when I moved here in 1989, and there was this great show on the air. How long were you two on the air together?
Let me see. Well, we started together, there were 3 of us at the beginning. Mm-hmm. K-pop in Sacramento in 1984. It was Robbins, Kinney, and Cowan. So Phil and I were together then. The 3 of us did radio here. The 3 of us got fired in Detroit. The 3 of us got fired in Dallas. And then Phil and I came back here. Our friend Paul Kinney decided he'd had enough of that.
Of the F word?
Yeah.
Being fired.
And so Phil and I, we were about 18 years together, just the 2 of us on Y92.
And when, or rather, why were you let go, or why did that pair end?
Let me see. Phil was tired of getting up, and well, this is an exact quote. One day he said to me, "Dude, I can't keep getting up and acting happy in the morning."
Mm.
And he is still one of my best buddies. Phil and I send sarcastic, politically incorrect text messages back and forth almost every day.
Excellent.
We get together and have lunch once every month or so. He just had his first grandbaby.
Yay!
A year ago.
He's in the club.
Yeah, a little walker turned 1 about a month ago. So we're still really good friends. He was burning out after all those years. And I knew, I kind of saw it coming for years. And one day he just said, "Dude, I can't keep doing this." And so he bailed out. We had a very amicable, he's all done. parting after about 18 years. And then I went on and did it a couple of years without him.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was one of those, don't get me grousing about radio, one of those radio things where the ratings were pretty good, but we worked for a large company that had decided we've got the format that's a winner.
Yeah, we're going in a different direction.
We're
going
to flip every adult contemporary station we have to this new format, which lasted with some small amount of satisfaction. I don't know. A few months.
How about that?
Yeah.
How'd that work
out
for them? Do you miss radio? Because
you
were so fun and you have that personality. You were so entertaining and fun to listen to. And news is a different animal. And Fox 40, you do get to play around and have fun when it's appropriate. But you guys, the radio was a free-for-all.
I do miss radio. I do. Silly as our show was, in a certain way, I, forgive me for saying this, think it was important. Well, I always thought it was important that there were two guys who loved their wives and loved their kids and did a funny, fun show that was almost never at someone else's expense.
Right, not off color. You could, and to me, that's even harder than blue humor and attacking other people for the sake of entertainment. I think it's harder to be successful and clean and genuine.
And I will say it was a really good show. So I was really proud of it. And what was the question I was answering? Oh, I don't know. You know, the big difference between radio and TV, I've said this a lot, I've been asked the question a lot. The big difference is television is enormously collaborative. I'm a small part of a big show. There's a zillion moving parts. At any moment, there are three or four people in the chain that can make me look stupid. And, you know, I don't need anybody's help to look stupid. I can do it all by myself. And I'm fortunate that I like the people I work with, but it's really collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
Radio show, it's your show.
There's a lot of people who don't realize that to a lot of people, they think radio is, and I'm using the word that just comes to mind, easier than TV, when really it is more on you.
Yep.
And there's not a teleprompter. Yep. And
But I do miss that. I miss that it's mine.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if it's bad that day, well, it was your fault.
It's on you. Yeah.
But if
it's
really good.
Yeah.
Because you were good. I miss that. I do miss that.
The answer guy on the Discovery Channel.
Those were fun days.
Tell me.
It's a long story, but we ended up doing this, you know, two guys in lab coats and you send in a question and we tongue in cheek answer it. We didn't know a lot, but we have the ability to look like we
there
know
you
a
go.
Lot.
Never could, you know, confuse them with facts and information.
We were on to, I sounded just like Elmer Fudd for a moment. Play that back. We were on the Discovery Channel for about 5 years doing that show.
I love that.
While still doing the Y-82 show, we were busy guys there for a while. Yeah.
I knew about the answer guy. I did not know about your mystery novel, sir.
Oh, you should.
When do you have time? What the heck?
I always thought of myself as a writer that just hadn't written anything. In radio, everything you write is 60 seconds or
right.
less. And I figured I had in me something bigger. And I had actually written a play that we did at the B Street Theater years ago, but I always wanted to tackle a novel. And I left my own devices. I'll read three or four nonfiction books because it's stuff I think I should know.
Uh-huh.
Even if I'm not enjoying the book, you know, I'm eating my vegetables.
You're
right.
Good boy.
And then I need brain candy. Then I want something that I just
brain
think
candy.
Is fun. And I like a light, smart alecky mystery.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need people getting chopped up and stuff like that. I like a sometimes makes you laugh light mystery.
Who are some of your favorites?
I like Harlan Coben very much. Carl Hiaasen, a couple of ones like that.
Not much James Patterson.
I've only read a little bit of James Patterson. I should read more. But again, I don't have enough time for brain candy. So, but anyway, I wanted to write a novel that I would like, and so that's what I did. I wrote the first one. It was the NPR local Capital Public Radio Book of
Love
the Month
it.
Club.
Tell you what,
book.
Tell
it was
you
good.
What.
The first one was, I will humbly say, it was really good, and so then I wrote a sequel. So there's two mystery novels out there.
Who Does It Hurt?
Yeah, the sequel is Who Does It Hurt. The first one is Did Sid. All of my books are questions. The title is
love
a question.
That. Do you have any more in your brain?
I would love to write some more. It takes while having a real job. It took me about a year for each one,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm going to wait till I'm. Not gainfully employed to spend a year not making money.
But there's another. another one?
There's always something percolating.
Okay.
Yeah, I really enjoyed writing. It was really fun. Really fun to write those.
So let's switch over to news. Last year, it was heartbreaking to see the fires in Santa Rosa. Oh. And there I see my longtime friend Paul Robbins talking about his childhood home burning down and the neighbors that you had seen literally the day before.
The day of the fire. The fire was overnight, and that afternoon they had been over at my mom's 91st birthday party.
And
they perished in the fire right next door. Yeah.
How did you find out?
Well, we knew their sons were grown and moved out, but their sons had called some people in our family saying, "Have you heard from our mom and dad?" Mm. Right, and you weren't here. I will disclose something publicly. You weren't supposed to go into the burn area at all. Again, the fire was overnight. I think it was a Sunday to Monday.
Sunday because I had been out of town, and I woke up and going, fall smells lovely.
Oh, for sure, because Sunday was my mom's birthday party
it was
at her house.
Sunday night to Monday.
And the fire was overnight, and I got a phone call at, 2 a.m. saying, the house may have burned down. Everybody's gotten out safely. And you weren't supposed to go in. And I got off the air doing the morning news and booked it over to Santa Rosa with my press pass and my business card. I'm the press. I got to get in there and see what's going on. And so my brother and I we pretended he was my cameraman. And my brother and I went in, and we knew that the Halbers next door had not been heard from. So we went to my mom's house, which was rubble and smoke.
Already?
Yeah. And while we were there, I was thinking I should walk over to the next door neighbor. Before we could do that, a couple of police vehicles coming up their drive with a lot of purpose stopped and got out. Clearly, they were there for a reason, and then they were there for half an hour. And I didn't go over, but I called to them, are the Halbers okay? And they shook their head. No, they were. Mr. Halber was a fantastic, sweet man that was caring for his wife that had dementia. Mm. And they were he was in the driveway, she was in a truck. He was trying to get her out. God. And so that is a great loss.
I don't know if there can be a harder story for you to have covered, but that was going to be another one of my questions. What are some of the, if that's not in the top five for you, I don't know what is, as far as stories that you have had to keep a straight face through and hold it together and report on?
I have done some reports. I'm mostly the anchor guy. That's what they pay me to do. Mm-hmm. And so, and when a morning show is 5 hours long, often a story comes along that didn't even exist at the beginning of the show. So the first time I hear about it is it's popped up on the teleprompter. There have been some unique times. I'm pretty well calloused about people doing bad things. If something terrible has happened to a child, that gets to me when we're reporting it. I have had the experience of, I will go give no specific details. I've had the experience of this story pops up. It's someone that was a leader in youth sports who has been accused of misbehavior with underage people. Mm-hmm. And I read the name and I looked at the mugshot, and it's someone I know that I had played on a, adult softball league with years before.
And you're seeing it for the first time.
Oh,
yes. The
and,
name.
And not reacting to the fact that you're kidding me. He did what? You're not supposed to do that when you're reading the news. I've had that happen. But otherwise, I'm getting in there and reading the stuff.
I don't know how you do it. You are a slow but devoted runner. I've known you for years, and there's always either a somewhat recent marathon in your back pocket or one coming up. Is that still the case?
Oh, yeah.
You're crazy. How many have you done?
Somewhere in the 25 range.
God.
I ran 3 last year.
Why?
Because I when I was in my mid-40s, I ran the Boston Marathon twice. And they make you work they make you run fast to be in the Boston. Yeah.
Right.
And I am not naturally fast. It required an enormous amount of work for me to get there. But I legitimately qualified and ran it twice in my mid-40s, long before I was ever a grandpa. So I have 2 Boston Marathon
Crazy.
Medals. I have 3 grandsons.
Oh,
I need 3.
I need 3.
So last year I was on a bender trying to qualify for Boston again. Every 5 years they give you more time. I won't make this last too long. But so I turned 60 last year, and I thought, this is it. I got more time to qualify. I'm on it. And the Boston qualifying time for 60 to 64-year-olds is 3 hours and 55 minutes.
Oh, Lord.
And I ran the Tunnel Marathon in Southern Washington in 3 hours and 56 minutes and 17 seconds. So I didn't get there, but I will try again. I'm taking this year off, and I'll try it again.
You're crazy. you're always running. Do you do that? Yeah. When do you run? If you're up at, with the dogs, with the birds?
I have been running with the same group of friends every Saturday morning for 25 years. We get out and run 6 miles together, and then we go to a bakery and put all the calories back.
Outstanding. Is Bridget a runner?
She's a really good walker.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And a good hiker.
I see you in the grocery store. I see you around. You're very approachable, and you're a very basic guy. And I mean that in a nice way.
No, I took it in a good way.
People in your position that think that there's something special. You're very approachable. What do you do when people come up and say hi to you in your life?
I chat.
Yeah.
I have a nice chat. I don't get people who are put off by someone in the public coming up and talking to them. What's the matter with that person? Because people have listened to my radio show or watched me on TV, I put my kids through college.
Right. Thank you.
Because people have been nice enough to pay some attention to what I was saying, I bought my house. And go on vacation.
So there's that.
It's not like I'm put out when somebody comes up. I owe people a debt of gratitude, and I'm not faking it. I enjoy talking to people, and you know, nobody. Let me see. Has anybody ever come up and said, "I've been looking for you, you jerk"? That has never happened.
Well, good. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah. You know, of course, there's still time.
I know you're a foodie.
I am.
Wasn't there an annual cookbook back in your radio days, or semi-regular?
Yeah, we put out the Paul and Phil cookbook every around Christmas time with our friends at Raley's in Bel Air. We did 9 of those things, and
that's awesome.
You know, they were at all the Raley's check stands for $5, and every penny went to Food for Families.
That's so cool.
Well, yeah, we do out a lot of cookbooks.
What's your go-to favorite types of foods?
I make a really good pizza.
Nice.
And,
what's on it?
Well, it depends. I make a really mean deep dish pizza with a cheese and onion dough, and I'm one of those guys who actually likes pineapple on the ham, and I'll do that. And that's a double crust with the sauce on top. And then we just got it's a wood-fired portable pizza oven. Don't be impressed. It was on sale for $59 at World Imports.
Cool.
But I just did a whole bunch of those for friends over the weekend.
And the $59 does the trick?
Works.
Hey.
It's more art than science, but yes. And best, most memorable recipe from all the cookbooks is a salsa cheesecake, which is in fact not a dessert, but you make it in a springform pan, and it serves like a cheesecake, but then you get out chips and you eat it like a dip. It's fantastic.
Oh, I'm
fantastic.
Interested.
Yeah.
A salsa
I'll get
cheesecake.
You that recipe.
I'll be needing that. Mm-hmm. Do you still have stuff on your bucket list? You seem like someone who, when you want to do something, you need that third Boston, you do it, you've got your books. What's still on the to-do list?
Let me see. Bridget and I didn't have any money when we had kids, and so and before that we didn't travel, and we've been trying to make up for lost time. We have traveled a lot, and there's still places to go. New Zealand's big on the list. Have been to Australia, but not New Zealand. There's some European countries we still have to hit. We a couple of years ago in Ireland did this very fairly impressive hike from Doolin down on the coast up to the cliffs of Moher. And we did it just fine. And Bridget said afterwards, "Think we'll be able to do that 10 years from now?" I said, "Yeah, I think." She said, "20 years from now?" I said, "No, I don't think so." And so we're trying to reprioritize the bucket list based on how much physical ability you need.
That's so well thought out.
Machu Picchu moved way up. We got to do that sometime. We're doing that. We've done it before. We're going to cruise around South America in January of next year, but we're going to go early and go to Iguazu Falls in Brazil because that's been on the bucket list for a long time.
Good for you.
And then if I ever quit working, we do want to haul the trailer around and see how many national parks we can get to.
That's kind of us, too. We always talk about outside of the country, but what about everything in between?
Yeah, yeah.
And we go, oh, yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah,
we'll
a couple of years ago, we pulled the trailer to all the parks in Utah. And
that's awesome.
Wow, it's so fantastic.
So I ask all my guests, because it's called NorCal Names. You, you were in Detroit, you were in Dallas, you came to Sacramento, and you stayed. Why Northern California?
Bridget and I both came here to finish college in the mid-late 70s, we fell in love and got married here, so it always felt like home in that regard. Of the large metropolitan areas in California, it's the most normal one for raising a family. because there's, you know, there's some abnormal places. And so, it was a great place to raise your family. You know, the standard cliche answer is true. It's great to be close to the mountains. It's great to be close to the Bay Area. It's quite a wine country and blah, blah, blah. But Sacramento was just a great place to raise our family. Mm-hmm. And, now the kids are grown up and married and there's grandkids. And so we can't leave even if we wanted to.
I hear you. Ever a desire as you grew up in Santa Rosa to live up that way?
No. College friends became lifelong friends, and our marriage was all here, and mm-hmm. here's where we stay.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thanks for coming.
I mean, it's been my pleasure.
Yay!